Welcome to Music and the Message from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Gilberts, Illinois. We pray this blend of musical praise and the spoken word will enlighten your day and bring you closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The following readings and sermon are from the 8 o'clock service on Sunday, January 7th, 2018.
The Old Testament reading for today comes from Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult. because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nation shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall bring good news of the praises of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle comes from Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles were fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery, hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their country by another way. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you.
Matthew writes, "Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?'" Wise men still seek him. That became a popular saying some time ago. Perhaps you've seen the bumper stickers. Maybe you've heard the song by the same name. If you search the web, you'll find many companies and churches who have branded this expression for commercial use. Wise men still seek him. Interesting words, to be sure. And I would imagine well-intended words as well. But are these words true? Do wise men still seek him? Wise men still seek him. If the wise men of today, whoever they might be, continue in that search, well, I must ask, why have they not found him? Is he hiding? Well, hardly. He has made himself very well known, even in the farthest corners of the earth. The Holy Bible is the most read Bible in all the world. An estimated 3.9 billion copies have been sold. And that doesn't include the many and unknown copies that have been produced and handed out. There are also places of worship, plenty of places of worship that are dedicated to his presence. So how could anyone not find him if they were really looking? I'm going to tell you. No unbeliever seeks Jesus. These people may be and are likely looking for something, but it's not him. Either he finds you, or you'll never be found. Look at King Herod. He already had the king that he was looking for, himself. He was the king of the Jews, or so he believed. Herod was quite satisfied with himself. So why seek another? If he was genuinely excited about the arrival of the Christ, he would have joined those wise men in seeking him out and worshiping the Messiah. But interestingly enough, Herod didn't do that, did he? And then, of course, there was those chief priests and scribes who had advised Herod. What about them? What did they have to say? Well, interestingly enough, they quoted the scriptures that say, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." What does that tell you? The chief priests and the scribes knew exactly where to look. They knew where the Christ child could be found. But they stayed where they were. They were apparently satisfied with Herod because they weren't going anywhere. And so the wise men go. But even they only do so because they are drawn by the star. That star was sent to them. This was his sign to them. Therefore, he brought the Magi to himself. Without the star, well, those wise men might have been wandering for who knows how long, perhaps for years. And even when they got to that place where the child could be found, they would not have known where to go except the star showed them the way. So these men were wise men, only because the God of all wisdom was doing the leading. And what about those people who claim to be seeking him today? The church is easy enough to find, isn't it? God is present in God's house among God's people, is he not? This is where God is found, present among us in word and sacrament. In fact, this is where he has told us to go. This is where he has promised to be with us always, to the very end of the age. Look it up. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And after you've done that, read Acts, chapters 1 and 2. Why isn't this obvious to the seekers of today? Where are they looking? What are they looking for? If they drive right by this church, they have obviously rejected him. And what's so wise about that? They may be seeking someone. They may be seeking something, but they are certainly not seeking the one true God. Could it be that those type of seekers are like Herod? They march to their own drum. They make their own rules. They are their own king. And they seek something that will affirm their own kingship. Or could they be seeking a God that fits their own image of what they think God should be, what they want God to be? And can such a God save them? A God that gives them whatever they want. A God that makes them feel good. Or a God that lets them do whatever they want to do. I wonder, would it help if our church made the Word of God more seeker-friendly? That some churches have actually gone that way shows how tempting it can be to tamper with the Word of God, to make it more appealing to human nature. But no, God speaks to us all by His Word. We can't mess with that, not with a single word. And furthermore, my friends, God's Word is not difficult to understand. Of course, He may say some things with which our sinful natures disagree, those things we would prefer not to hear or obey. We may want to profess ignorance rather than listen to what God wants us to hear. But then again, ignorance is no excuse, is it? And the Word of God is not hard to understand at all. The gospel is so plain, it's so clear. It leaves no margin for error. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Love, giving, belief, life. There you have it. The very wisdom of God in one simple and unconditional promise. And this, my friends, is what every person needs. The gospel that gives the wisdom of God in the crucified Christ. God makes this known to us. He grants us this wisdom because the mind of God is so far beyond our own human comprehension. And yet God makes Himself unmistakably known to us through His incarnate Son, Jesus Christ. There can be no mistaking who He is or what He has done for us. It is in Christ we have been given the wisdom of God. You must realize what this means. Anyone who seeks Him by following their own wisdom will not find Him. They will find an idol, some empty and worthless shell, some false and powerless god, an idol modeled after their own sinful human desires. But I believe we all know that's what many people seek. And also, my friends, that's what you once sought as well. By your very nature, you sought and gravitated to false idols. Your instincts did not know the true God, nor did they seek Him. But then, of course, there's this. There's that. There's that. There's this. There's the gifts of faith. And if God stopped protecting your faith, you too would be off and wandering, looking for some new God to satisfy your desires and to worship. Only the man born in Bethlehem, the one foretold of by the prophets, the one whom the Magi sought by the star, only He knew His Father in heaven, and He alone sought the true God. He never bowed a knee to an idol. He never gave a thought to anything other than what the God of all creation had called upon Him to do. He lived His life in perfect obedience. And the perfect obedience of His life, His death, and His resurrection has been counted for you. He is what you need. He is your true King. He is your true God. And He alone can save you. He is the true King. And yet, no one, no matter how hard they may claim to be, how wise they claim to be, truly seek this King. Some seek a King who rewards good works. Others seek a King of cheap grace, who casually overlooks disobedience and forgives without consequence. But the God that humans seek is not real. No one seeks the God who dies on the cross. No one seeks the God who wears the crown of thorns. No. This king seeks you. He sought you out in death and in resurrection. And the king pardons those who submit themselves to their mercy. The king abounds in graciousness, and he delights in receiving you into his kingdom. The king came, and the king sought you out. He came to you in the darkness of your sin. He's shown his bright and redeeming light upon you. And he has anointed you to rule with him in his kingdom of glory. He's Jesus Christ, our Lord, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And he rules over heaven and earth. So where is the Christ? Where is our King? My dear friends in Christ, right where you are, he's right here. Wherever that royal proclamation is heard, he's there. Wherever the kingly feast is served, he is there. Whenever your sins are forgiven in the church, it is he who forgives them. Here is the King who dwells with you, and he's pleased to do so. So just as those wise men worshiped him on bended knee, worship him at his holy feet. Kneel in joyful submission. Welcome his word and receive his forgiveness. In his wisdom, he has given you a new and clean heart. He has given you the Holy Spirit. He gives you faith. And that faith creates new and holy desires in you. So my friends, in that faith, seek what he desires. Rely upon the God of all wisdom to lead you to that place where he may be found, even as you are here this very day. And take hold of that wisdom and live by it. And may your King preserve you in his wisdom today, tomorrow, always, and throughout all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Jesus. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Music and the Message, brought to you from St. Peter Lutheran Church, located in Gilberts, Illinois. Worship services are held on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. and on Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.stpeterlutheran.org. Thanks for listening, and God's blessings on your week.